You want to turn this morning to the book of Romans chapter 3 and book of Romans chapter 4. We want two verses this morning, and we're going to read from chapter 4 first. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 16, where we read, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now notice the beginning of that verse. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." He's talking about this great salvation that was promised to Abraham in Genesis 15, which makes us Abraham's children when we believe the promise of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, a verse we all know. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you in the name of thy dear Son for the riches of your grace. We thank you that this great salvation is by faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Your plan will never fail. Your plan is perfect, like your way. And we pray, O God, that we may grasp this truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. There are things in the Word of God that go together. Three things in particular: salvation, assurance, and joy. There are people who have salvation, but they are not sure that they are saved. I met people in my lifetime that I believe are saved, but they have no assurance. They cannot sing like we do, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." And then we have people that talk about assurance that I'm not too sure that are saved. They've learned certain doctrines as they grew up, but their life doesn't show a change that they have truly been born of God. And then, of course, there comes the joy of salvation. David lost the joy of his salvation, for in the 51st Psalm, in confession, he cries out to God, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Now we're aware, as we read Romans 3:23, it's a verse we all know, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is true of every man in Adam's race. But we have to be very careful with this, because we will never have assurance, and we will never have the joy of the Lord unless we understand that 16th verse of Romans 4. For it says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed." Now, assurance flows from an understanding of God's ways. Unless we understand what God is doing, unless we understand what the Word of God means when it says that we're saved by grace, not by character, your character will take you to hell. It's the grace of God, and the grace of God alone, that will take you to heaven. And this is what Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 is teaching us. When we have the great illustration in the opening of Romans 4 of Abraham being justified by faith through grace, not by his character, not by anything else, but by grace and by grace alone. So, we want to deal with this morning. We want to end with three things. We want to be sure we're saved. That's salvation and assurance. And to have the joy of salvation, that goes along with it. And we need that joy. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the scales of God. God putting mankind on a scale. And this is really what God does. There's a great story in Daniel chapter 5 when Belshazzar the king made a feast to 1,000 of his lords and they were drinking wine at that feast. And you remember in the middle of it, he commanded that the holy vessels that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem be brought out. And he drank wine out of them. And a hand wrote on the wall. And part of the handwriting on the wall was, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." And friend, what Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4 does, it weighs us in the balance. And every man from Adam on to me and on to you is wanting. We are wanting. And if we can have that salvation, if we can have the knowledge and assurance of salvation, and if we can have the joy of salvation. Notice Romans 4:16 again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be found, might be sure to all the seed. You see, men today argue according to family tradition. It's so simple. I read it in a book somewhere. You know, and they talk about things that they've read somewhere in a book. Well, I think God wants this. Another person says, well, I think God wants that. But who are you to think what God wants? God's Word tells us what God wants. God has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible declares what God wants. But it also declares what God will accept. God's Word declares what God will accept. God has revealed in His Word that He is perfect. And He will accept nothing but perfection. That's the only thing that God will accept. He will not lower His standard to accommodate you. He will not lower His standard to accommodate me. He will accept nothing but perfection. But I hear men say, I'll do the best I can, and God won't be too hard on me. For remember, God is a God of mercy. I hear that time and again. Well, let me tell you something. If God accepted you on a 70% grade, heaven would be 30% dirty. And if God accepted you on a 99% grade, heaven would be 1% dirty. But God will not have it. God will not have it. And God has placed the whole of the human family on a scale. You see, there are three kinds of people in the world. The bad, the ordinary, and the very good. Those are the kind of people that are in the world. And every day at noontime, I listen during the week, if I can, to the Farm Report out of Raleigh, Durham. And that man, Mr. Wilkerson, he always has a Cecil and Leonard story. And, of course, I like the Cecil and Leonard story. And, of course, he told the story about Cecil the other day. Cecil was wondering how much he weighed. And he took a rail out of the fence. And he put it over until it balanced, and then he got on the one end and he put rocks in a bag on the other. The only trouble when he got it to be balanced, well, he had no scale to weigh the rocks. He was in bad shape. You know, he had to weigh the rocks after it was all done. But, you see, God has done with the human race. He's put the human race on a scale. You see. And he put 1 pound of perfection, 16 ounces on the other side. And he will have nothing other than 16 ounces. For God demands perfection. We reach out into the human family. Romans 3:23. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We reach out into the human family and we take a man. He's a convict. He's a murderer. He robbed a bank and he shot a policeman. Oh, when we look for goodness in that man, we can only find 2 ounces. Or someone says, I always knew he would never measure up. See, that's Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 looks at the world like this. I knew he'd never measure up. But Romans chapter 2 verse 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you the judge, you do the same things. You see. So we take this convict and we put him on a pile. And that pile has a 4-letter word over it. L-O-S-T. He's lost. He's lost. Now here comes the next fellow. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See this next fellow. Oh, he's liked by everybody. He's an average guy. He belongs to the country club. He does well in business. He has a good job. Everybody likes him. You see, this is man here that we're looking at. He's good enough to stay out of jail. He's bad enough to do everything that he wants to do. And he's smart enough to think that he can get away with it. Here he comes. We put him on the scale. On the one end of the scale is 1 pound of perfection, 16 ounces. And we look at this young fellow, 8 ounces. 8 ounces. You see, he ruffles up like a peacock and he says, I'm 4 times as good as that fellow. I'm 4 times as good. God's word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We take that man and we put him on the pile mark. L-O-S-T. Lost. You see, God is not saving men by character. God is saving men by grace. You will never get the assurance of salvation, friend, and you'll never have the joy of salvation till you understand that. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, when you weighed all the 2 ounces, and when you weighed all the 8 ounces, there are not too many other kind that are left, are there? They're just about all gone. But here's an honorable person that comes along. This person you've heard said about, if anybody is going to heaven, I'm sure grandma is. If anybody goes to heaven, I know grandma is going to heaven. You know? And we put this person on the scale. On the one end of the scale, 16 ounces of perfection. That's the only thing God will accept. And we put this other person on the scale who has lived a moral life, who's lived a religious life, and all these other things that we think make an excellent and a good character. And 12 ounces. But on the other end is 16 ounces. And what's wrong? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he says, this person cries out, I'm 6 times better than the convict. And you put this person on that same pile. Lost, L-O-S-T. I'm 6 times better than the convict. And I'm 1.5 times better than that boy from the country club. But you see, you're not measured against the convict. That's what we do. We measure our lives by the standards of others. You're not measured by the convict. You're not measured by that country club boy. You're measured against God. God says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. and you take that 12-ouncer, come up higher than anyone else, you put him on the lost pile with the others, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now friends, if you thought you heard a yell when they put the 8-ouncer on the lost pile, you really hear one when you put this moral, religious person on the lost pile. Boy, you really hear it. Do you mean that God Almighty is not going to take into account all that I've done? And all the good that I've done? And when we say no, God is not going to take it into account, it makes people boil. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Your character can take you to hell, but it will never take you to heaven. God does not save people by character. He saves people by grace. A person is living in a fool's world who thinks that if he does good to humankind and does the best he can get by the judgment bar of God. He cannot. That person is a lost soul. That person is under the condemnation of a holy God. That person is dead in trespasses and in sins. That person is without hope. But look at that verse in Romans 4. Romans 4 verse 16 says, therefore it is by faith that it might be by grace. And coupled with the grace of God is the mercy of God. That mercy of God that has mercy on a 2-ouncer. It has mercy for an 8-ouncer. It has mercy for a 12-ouncer. It has mercy for a 15-ouncer. If they can get there for the 15-ouncer. And the 15.99%-ouncer needs as much mercy as the 2-ouncer. If God were saving men by character, friends, it would not be by grace. Because you could look at me, a 2-ouncer, when you get over to heaven, and you could say, I was an 8-ouncer. It took a lot more grace to save you than it did me. And God will not have it in his presence. God will not let anyone boast in his presence. It took more grace to save you than it did me. No, it didn't. It took the death of Jesus Christ to save anybody. And apart from divine grace, you see, the person who says they want to be saved by their character ignores what God did at Calvary when God sent his Son to be the Savior of men. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, friends, he made friends with the 2-ouncers. The publicans and sinners hear him gladly. He made friends with the 2-ouncers. When Stan Ford, a preacher from Great Britain, had to have surgery a number of years ago, he's now with the Lord, by the way. When he had to have surgery a few years ago, he was worried when he went into the operating room because he heard that they give you sodium pentothal, and sodium pentothal makes a talker out of you, and you say things when you're on the operating table that you don't say normally. And Stan had lived a wicked life before God saved him. And he didn't want to say something when he was under the influence of an anesthetic otherwise. And when he was in the recovery room and he came around, he said, did I talk? Oh, yes, you talked. Oh, he said, what did I say? You said, this man receiveth sinners. That's what you said. And he was so glad. My friend, when our Lord was here on earth, he made friends with the 2-ouncers. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He made friends of the 2-ouncers. The 12-ouncers put him to death. Why? Because in the Sermon on the Mount that he preached, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, our Father in heaven, is perfect. And he said, except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And today you and I meet day by day people who say to you, my religion is that of the Sermon on the Mount. They like those beatitudes that say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, and all those other things, and they don't understand them. And when I hear that, my religion is that of the Sermon on the Mount, I literally shake for those people. They don't realize that they're on the pile mark, lost for all that sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God demands perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. They crucified our Lord because he taught that 12 ounces is not enough. God demands perfection. Who measures up? Nobody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the doctrine of total depravity declares all under sin. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be sure to all the seed. You see why I get excited about the grace of God? We have a message, friends. We have the only message that will deliver a sinner. And the message that delivers a sinner is that salvation is by grace. God has to do it all. You cannot add 0.1% or 0.0001% to your salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This means that all of us are sinners, doesn't it? That's exactly what it means. What can you do? What can you do? Oh, let me answer this. I want to answer it well. Admit that taking credit for your character can separate you from God. It can take you to hell, but it can never take you to heaven. Are you willing to admit that? Have you ever admitted it to God? Lord, if you give me what I deserve, I'm lost. I deserve to go to hell. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your grace. That's why our Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. This is Christianity. It's not the ethics of better milk for better babies or better slums for better slum dwellers. This is Christianity. And Christianity cries to the human family, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And apart from the grace of God, you are lost. You must come with empty hands to God. Empty your hands, friend, of your 2, your 8, your 12, or whatever number of ounces you think you are. Empty your hands and come to God with empty hands. As Top Lady put it, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. We come empty-handed to God. Tell God, Lord, you have me at the right place. I'm on the heap. Mark, lost. L-O-S-T. Apart from your grace, I can never be saved. Have you ever come? Can you tell the Lord, I believe that you died for sinners, that you died for me? Therefore, it is a faith, that it might be by grace. The work was done at the cross. And we sing occasionally at the Lord's Supper, done is the work that saves. It's all finished. What must I do to be saved? Nothing. Just accept what has been done for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Done is the work that saves, once and forever done. Finish the righteousness that clothes the unrighteous one. Our friends, the work is done. The Lord Jesus could say to the Father, I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So Christ says to you this morning, come with your hands empty, and I'll fill them with the perfection of myself. And when we come to God through Christ, as a guilty sinner, acknowledging that if he gave us what we deserve, we'd go to hell. We'd be lost forever. He fills our hands with the perfection of himself. We're clothed with his righteousness. Now let me come back to where I began. There are three things that go together. Salvation, assurance, and joy. Coming to Christ and believing in him brings us assurance. It brings us salvation. Knowing that we are saved by grace apart from our character, apart from anything in us, for he couldn't find anything there that was worth saving. Grace saves the ungodly. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The promise is sure to all the seed. I'd like to ask you a couple questions in closing. Question number one. I want you to think this through. Do you see this morning why it is necessary for God to save men by grace and not by character? Do you understand that? Why it's necessary for God to save men by grace and not by character? The second question is this. Do you now understand why apart from his grace, you would never have genuine assurance? The third question is this. Do you have these three things? Salvation, assurance, and joy. To know that you're saved, that word assurance, brings the joy of the Lord. You see, I once was in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll never forget the morning that I saw Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. You want to know something? When I saw that, I didn't have to ask God for joy. It was there. I had it. The joy of the Lord was there. Do you have that joy? Oh, thank God for the joy that he gives. I think we should sing a hymn in closing. Hymn number 277. I want you to look at it. We're going to sing the two middle verses, verse 2 and verse 3. Of number 277. I want to read those two verses to you. Because God saves men by grace, not by character. He says, enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. He said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Notice verse 3. Here's the key to joy. My heart is leaning on his word. Not the word of grandma. Not the word of the preacher. The word of God. The written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And that he died for me. Have you come? Have you come to Christ? all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now let's pray. Father, before we sing this hymn that speaks of the glory of your grace, the entrance of assurance, and the means of joy, we pray for each one that they may seriously examine their own hearts and by depending on salvation by character or salvation by grace. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing with